fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. It's been such a great week. I'm so glad maybe some of you have been able to join me all week, and I thank you for that. I want to thank you. I don't do this very often. Many of the listeners who are praying for the program and are faithful supporters of the program, and just want to say thank you. It's great walking together. And there's different kinds of ministry that I'm involved in. I do not only radio, but I do television. I do lots of public speaking and doing parish missions. I do priest convocations and retreats for leaders. And we do a lot of international work around the world, working in about 40 different countries this year in Eastern Europe, Africa, Asia, in the Middle East, and sending teams in those places. I'll be going to a number of those places this year again. And all those are tremendous opportunities. I'm really grateful for them. If you don't mind, I wouldn't mind if you'd go to our website at renewalministries.net sometime and just take a look at our calendar that's there. And we've got people going all over the world who are extending the kingdom and are responding to the very theme that we've been talking about all week, which is first Jesus going forward and proclaiming the kingdom of God, establishing, planting the flag of his Father's kingdom. Jesus is the king of that kingdom, and with all power and authority delivers us from slavery to the kingdom of the enemy, powers of sin and darkness, and the powers of sin, death, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and Jesus sets us free. And the church is that living sign in the world. It's a sacrament, really, a sign of the kingdom of God. And it's the place that shows forth the kingdom when we're living the gospel. And this is why it's so important for the Christian people to really live the gospel. That is, to be radically surrendered to Jesus in trust, to have really exercised the faith that is, you receive the teaching of Jesus about who he is, about who the Father is, about who you are and what you're called to be. And you've come to a point in your life, maybe if you first heard it for the first time, that you are, as Jesus calls you to repent, to change your life, to give Jesus your sins. That's what he comes to do. He comes to take away sin, Scripture says. And so Jesus comes to say to each one of us at some point, give me your sin. And that is the reality of what he himself has diagnosed that's in us, our fallen human nature and our attachment to things that are offensive to God. And right down to the point of having the mind that we are our own master, or that we're the one who should determine what's right or wrong in our lives, or we're the one who's going to on our own simply decide how we're going to live our lives, really apart from God. And so he comes to take that all away, and to forgive us if we offer it to him and repent for our sins, that is turning to him. And then he gives us his Spirit, and he connects us in his Spirit through baptism to his death on a cross, the deed of love that he did for you. He died on a cross for you, not just generic humanity, but for each and every one of us. He shed his blood for you. It's your stripes. By your stripes he was healed. That is what Jesus was literally tortured in, that offering of his life. And that suffering for sin was meant for you and meant for me. But Jesus took it upon himself, and he offered himself as a living sacrifice to God the Father on our behalf. And it's a sacrifice the Father welcomed because it was pure and perfect and beautiful and rooted in love. And it was an offering for you and for your sake. And Jesus gave everything. And so Jesus turns to us and says, I've given everything for you. I've died for your sins. And trust me, he tells us, your sin is serious. It's deadly. In fact, it was killing you. And you were destined for eternal separation from me and from my Father. You were destined to the torments of hell. But I've come for you to save you. And I've come to offer you my kingdom, but you must say yes. And it's a total response, giving on Jesus' part, which demands from us a total and radical response. Faith is not just keeping some ideas about God in your head, however true they may be. What faith is believing who Jesus is, that he's the Lord of all, that he died for our sins, that he was raised for our eternal life, and that he's inviting me, he's calling me to give my whole life to him. Jesus has come to be the Lord. He's come to plant the flag. We've been talking all week, the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus planted the flag of the kingdom here on earth, and he brought the authority of God, and he brought the life of God to the earth, and it's present in his church. However imperfectly, it's present. But then Jesus, through his church, is coming to each one of us to say, imagine Jesus standing there holding the flag and saying, I want to plant this flag in your heart, but I can't do it without your permission. Do you want the reign of my Father? Do you want my reign and authority in your life? Do you want to follow me? Do you want to let me put to death the sin sickness that's in you? Do you want me to break the power of the dominion of Satan that's at some level at work in your life, whether you know it or not? Do you want me to break his power over you? Do you want me to bring you into my family as a child of God? Do you want me to give you the mission you were destined to live? Do you want me to bring you home to my Father? Jesus is ready to plant that flag in your heart, but he won't plant it until you mean it. The only response is a radical response. That means right to the root, right to the core of your being. He stands before you, and he wants to know. You're the only one who can give him that answer. And he's dead serious about it. He's come to save you because you need to be saved. You may not know that. You may not believe that. You might be listening right now and say, oh, my life's great. I don't have time for all this stuff. I don't have time for the church stuff. I don't have time for another mission. I don't have time for all that because my life is going just as I want it to. I got the right apartment. I got the right wheels. I got the right wardrobe. I got the right girlfriends. I've got the right job. I'm making some serious cash. I hang with the right pack. I got a lot of fun stuff that I'm doing. My life's kind of an adventure. I love riding my mountain bike. I'm skydiving. I'm going here, there. I'm traveling the world. I mean, man, that's where it's at. My life's good. And I look at myself and say, I don't have any problems. I mean, I don't think I really need this. So you kind of keep it at arm's length. You put it on the shelf, or you just simply walk away from it. That's what happens to many people. Or as Pope John Paul II used to say, that what the world kind of seduces us into is to not take Jesus radically and to settle for a kind of Christian minimalism. You know, what's the minimum I have to do? I just want to get a toe in the church. I definitely don't want to get serious about it, serious to the point where it really would require my time, require my talents, and my attention, my money. I don't want to do that. I've got other plans for my life. But at the same time, there's something nagging me in my conscience that says, well, I ought to do something. I ought to throw the Lord a bone in some way. And so I get to church on occasion, pray on occasion, might even get to confession once a year or something like that. And we take a minimalistic approach. As Cardinal John Henry Newman used to say, we develop and we live by a refined mediocrity. And what's really going on is we're still unconverted. We don't really want the kingdom. We haven't taken seriously what Jesus has said. We haven't taken him seriously. We haven't internalized it. And it's very clear because you can see that we haven't trusted him. We haven't trusted him because we think if I go that way and I get too serious about it, not only becoming more serious about believing and getting the church, but this whole mission thing, this whole commission thing, this lay apostolate thing, that just means, again, more of my time. And I don't trust that if I go that way, I'm going to be happy and have the kind of life I want to have. There's the conflict. I have a life I want to have. I know this life will make me happy. At least that's what we think, right? And we don't want to just say no because we know there's some truth to what the Lord is saying. And so instead what we do is we take this minimalistic approach so that we can hang on to the life we want to live. And what we're doing is expressing unbelief. We're failing to take Jesus seriously. And we're living a life that Jesus described as being lukewarm. And so what did the King of the universe say about a lukewarm response to him? He said it makes him sick. He said it makes him so sick, he wants to spew it out of his mouth. Jesus is dead serious about what he came to do and to give us and to free us from because he knows it's real. Our minds are dark enough and in bondage enough, and we're still dominated by disordered self-love to such a degree that we'll play games with it, that we'll presume it's already there. But at the end of the day, we don't want to give up much for it. And we're not desperate. We're not desperate because we don't really know our true condition. If you knew your true condition, you would know how desperate it is, and you would radically give your life to him. I mean, the saints saw it. They saw the value of what really mattered, you know, what really counted in life. And the recent popes have called us to wake up to it. I was thinking of the heart of St. Francis, which St. Francis, as you regular listeners may know, is my favorite saint among many, but he's my favorite. His radical love, and St. Bonaventure described St. Francis this way. And St. Francis, many people say he might have been the most radically converted guy, the person who most imitated Christ with his life with such absolute totality. Now, that's certainly debatable, but he's right up there. So here's what St. Bonaventure said about this saint that even people who aren't believers seem to love, but they don't know this about him. Listen to what he says. He said, St. Francis was a sharp sword all on fire. Zeal for the salvation of others pierced the depths of Francis's heart with a burning love. If he saw a soul, that is a human being, redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, being stained with sin, he would be overcome with sorrow, and he would weep so compassionately that he seemed to travail over them continually like a mother in Christ. There's a brother who said yes to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, I want to be just like you. You're the road to freedom and happiness and fulfillment and purpose. You're my destiny. I want all of you, Lord. And that's what the Lord gave him. He was a sword all on fire. That was Jesus. Jesus said he came to bring a sword, didn't he? The salvation of others pierced Jesus' heart. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son that whoever believed in him would not die but have everlasting life. Love came. Jesus came to seek and save the lost because of love. And Jesus wept for the sins of men. And what moved him was compassion. And so St. Bonaventure tells us this was the reason that Francis was so energetic in prayer, so active in preaching. Christ gave himself up to death for the salvation of others, and Francis desired to follow in his footsteps to the last. He realized that he was being sent by God to win for Christ souls which the devil was trying to snatch away, and to become a herald of the gospel with words from the Holy Spirit. Do you know that that's what you're called to as well? It literally is in the life and the vocation that you have. You're called just like St. Francis and sent like him, and God wants to give you words to speak in the Spirit to fulfill that calling right where you live and right where you're planted. Friends, take up the prayer, seek Jesus, beg him to show you, and he will reveal it to you. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.